that hope gives life and hope gives energy. I want to tell you about an experiment that a scientist did, and it's a bit of a gross experiment in many ways. A scientist took 15 wild rats, and rats are renowned for being able to swim really, really well. And he took these 15 rats and he put them in a bucket, and these rats were able to swim for just 15 minutes before they drowned, which is pretty gross. And then he took another 15 rats, he put them in a bucket, and they swam around for 14 minutes. And just before they were about to drown, he picked them out of the bucket, he dried them, he held them, and then he put them back in the bucket, and they swam for 36 hours. And the reason they went from being able to only swim 15 minutes to 36 hours was they had experienced what it felt like to be rescued, and they'd experienced what it felt like to be taken out of the bucket. And they swam and swam and swam for 36 hours because they had hope that at any moment someone could reach into the bucket and lift them out. And I want to tell you a story about how that reflects in a wartime situation. And I want to tell you the story of Colonel Stockdale and the fact that this man was able, as it were, to swim around a bucket for 8 years without losing hope. And I want to link Abraham's story of swimming around a bucket for 25 years, waiting for the promise of a child, Isaac, and how hope kept him going. So Admiral Stockdale, he was the highest ranking military officer who was in the Hanoi Hilton prison in Vietnam during the Vietnamese War. And he was in this prison camp from 1965 to 1973. So he was a prisoner of war for 8 years. And Stockdale was tortured over 20 times during his imprisonment. Stockdale had no prisoner of war rights, and he had no set release date. So he's in this prison, he's being brutally treated by his captives. He has no release date, so he doesn't know when it's going to end. And he's got absolutely no certainty that it ever will come to an end. And every day when he wakes up, he has the possibility that he could be tortured in order to give information to his captives. And it's probably true that in any situation, we can endure pretty much anything if we know when it's going to come to an end, and we can endure anything if we know it's going to come to an end and we know when it's going to come to an end. The question is, how do you endure, like Stockdale, when you don't know if it's going to come to an end and you certainly don't know when? So the question I've got when I look at this guy's life is, how does someone like Admiral Stockdale deal with such incredible uncertainty, such incredible brutality, the pain of being tortured? At one point, all the soldiers were told they cannot speak to one another. They were held in cells on their own. And the only way they could communicate was by tapping the alphabet. So A was one tap, C was three taps, D was four taps, and goes on and on. That's the only way they could communicate. And he also had all the pressure of all the other soldiers who were also captive with him. So I love to ask these questions, particularly of people who suffer injustice, imprisonment. How did he deal with being there? How does someone deal with a situation where they don't know how the story will end? I think the first lesson we get from Admiral Stockdale, and actually the first lesson we get from Abraham, is that Stockdale, like Abraham, didn't deny the reality of the brutal facts. That Abraham, it says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the facts. He could look at his own body and say, you know what? It's as good as dead. And he could look at his wife Sarah's body after 25 years of waiting and say, you know what? Her her barrenness is absolutely complete. And Stockdale was very interesting. He said to the other soldiers, "We will be tortured again. This isn't necessarily going to get easier." He faced the brutal facts, but at the same time as facing the brutal facts, he decided that however bleak it is, however difficult it is, however tough it is, he decided to have a hope mindset. That's what I find really interesting about a person like Stockdale in Hanoi prison, or a person like Abraham in the Bible. They could have this hope mindset. It says of Abraham, when everything looked hopeless, Abraham decided to believe God anyway. And Stockdale says, when asked, "How did you survive these awful conditions? How did you survive not knowing when you would get out?" He says this, "I never lost faith in the end of the story. Every day he got up," he said, "I never doubted not only that I would get out, but I would also prevail in the end." I find that really interesting that he's facing the brutal facts. We could be tortured. We don't know when we're getting out. They're going to want information out of us. We can't speak. I don't know when we're getting out, but I know this. We will prevail in the end. And we can see that with Abraham, where he says, "I'm fully persuaded that God has the power to do what God has promised. I'm fully persuaded, however bleak it looks, however impossible it looks, however dead my body is, however barren Sarah is, God had the power to do what God has promised." And Stockdale also said this. He said, "I have decided that in the midst of this experience of being in a prisoner of war camp, that this experience will be the defining event of my life, and that in retrospect I would not trade it." That's a hope mindset. So he's facing the facts, but he's also saying, what I'm experiencing right now will define the rest of my life in a good way, that in retrospect I wouldn't trade it for the world. Abraham was so similar. He looked at God. He believed that God is the God who gives life to the dead, who can call things into existence, the things that do not exist. It's interesting. Someone interviewed Admiral Stockdale in the 19, I think it's probably the 1980s, late 80s, and asked Colonel Stockdale, "Okay, in the prison camp, who were the ones who didn't make it out as strong as you then? You've come out strong, you've prevailed, you've seen these experiences redeemed. Who didn't make it out as strong as you, Admiral Stockdale?" And Stockdale looked the man in the eye, looked Jim Collins in the eye, and said, "That's easy. It's the optimists who didn't make it out as strong." The optimists were the ones who refused to face the facts, but had no basis for a hope mindset. So they buried their heads in the sand, but they had absolutely no reason to be hopeful. These were the people who said, "Don't worry, we'll be out of this camp by Christmas." And then Christmas would come and go and they were still there. And then they would say, "Don't worry, we'll be out by Easter." Easter would come and go and they were still there. And then they would say, "Don't worry, we'll be out by Thanksgiving." And then, you know, Thanksgiving in America would come and it would go. And then Christmas would come. And they literally died of a broken heart. He literally says that people who are just optimistic without a foundation of hope die of a broken heart. In other words, hopelessness created despair, then discouragement. And discouragement killed them. It's like they were rats swimming around a pool for 15 minutes and then they just quit and died. Stockdale was more like the rat, if we can say it, who could swim for 36 hours because he was fully persuaded that this is going to be redeemed, this is going to be okay, this is going to do me good.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure actually if Stockdale is a believer. I just think he was touching and tapping into the universal power of hope. Abraham, on the other hand, is clearly a believer. So Abraham could keep swimming around this tank, 25 years swimming around. Why? He's fully persuaded that God can call into existence things that don't yet exist.
Yeah.
Abraham could look at his body and look at his wife's barrenness and carry on swimming around. No matter how terrible it looks, how difficult it looks, I've got a hope mindset. God is a redeemer. God can work it together for good. God is going to do something good in me. God is going to mature me through this. God is able to fulfill his promises to me in this situation. Stockdale says, you must never confuse faith that will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of the reality you face, whatever that might be. You have to, it's like factoring in God at every single moment. So, you know, you might be going through financial challenges. You might be going through uncertainty. Someone you love might be not very well. You might be feeling overwhelmed by when's this all going to end. And Stockdale would say, and Abraham would say to us, the Bible would say, face the reality of what you're facing. Be real with God. Be real with other people. Process grief and loss. Face the brutal facts. But never lose sight of the fact that because of who God is, and because of his faithfulness, and because of his goodness, you will prevail in the end. That God will redeem it. God will work it together for good. God is going to do something through it. Sometimes it can be long-term sickness. You think, you know what, I've been living in lockdown for years. Now, God doesn't send sickness, but he can redeem it so that you can say, in the end, I will prevail. I will take this experience that didn't come from God, and I will allow it to be the defining moment of my life. I will allow it to be something that even in retrospect, I would not trade. So Abraham's story tells us this, where there's impossibility, where there's death, where there's barrenness, that is the place of resurrection. In the place where we can't do anything about something, any power to change it, that's the place of resurrection. Abraham tells us, in a sense, that God doesn't even need a spark to start a fire. God doesn't even need raw material to do a miracle. God doesn't even need, dare I say it, us to have a hope mindset in order for him to give us a hope mindset. He doesn't even need us to give him anything to work with. He could take the dead body of Abraham, the barrenness of Sarah, and he's the God of resurrection. He's the God that Abraham came to understand as the one who can call into existence things that don't exist. That's who God is. That's what he's like. That this kind of hope doesn't originate with a human being. It originates with God. Now, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe. Now, believing itself is a gift of God. Trust is a gift of God. Relaxing is a gift of God. You can't work yourself into believing. You can't work yourself into trusting. You can't strive yourself into a hope mindset. All you can do is say, God, you are hope. I'm going to be with you. And the manifestation's going to be, I'm going to be filled with all joy and peace as you ignite believing in me. And I'm going to overflow that hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to bring hope to a hopeless world. We want to give hope to people who have no expectation that this is going to be okay in the world. We want to give hope to men and women who are just optimistic at the moment and whistling in the dark. Then we need to be filled with Holy Spirit empowered hope so that we might overflow hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Lord Jesus, we thank you that there are no hopeless situations with you. And as Steve Backlund would remind us, there are only hopeless people and hopeless conclusions. And so, God, we want to believe that we can face the facts of whatever circumstances are around us, and yet at the same time, never lose faith in the end of the story. You are the Redeemer, you are the worker together for good, that you're always working, you're always doing, you're always active. And we want to say, God, whether we've been at a wall like we've been for 2 months, or maybe you've got long-term sickness and you've been at a wall for years. Abraham was at a wall of infertility. Sarah was at a wall of infertility for 25 years. David was at a wall of, I'm going to be king for 13 years, but he wasn't yet king. Joseph was in prison for 13 years. Whatever our wall is, we want to believe that God, you can create something out of nothing, and that you can do what you promised because you're powerful. Amen. Thank you, God.